Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our risen and living Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God's word which we receive this morning is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9, verses 14 to 29. And when he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them and scribes disputing with them. Immediately when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed and running to him, greeted him. And he asked the scribes, "What are you discussing with them?" Then one of the crowd answered and said, "Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. And wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not." He answered him and said, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me." Then they brought him to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Jesus said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." And when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "Deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more." Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him, and he became as one dead, so that many said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" So he said to them, "This kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting." So far the word of the Lord. Sanctify us by your truth, O Lord. Your word is truth. Amen. My wife was watching a documentary the other day about people climbing K2, which, if you're not familiar with it, it's a mountain in the Himalayas. It's not as high as Everest, but I understand that it's more favored by many mountain climbers, being more challenging or something. Anyway, they were climbing up the mountain and discussing how you get to a certain point and there's not enough oxygen in the air. They get high enough up where there's actually not enough oxygen in the air, and their body starts to shut down. It becomes very difficult to make decisions. You got to get up to the top and back down before you do something foolish or die for other reasons from the lack of oxygen. Imagine standing there with Mount K2 in front of you with its snow-capped peaks or some other mountain. I've climbed some mountains out in Colorado, but I don't have any desire to climb Mount K2. I don't know if that's something some of you would like to do. So that might not be a situation we have to face in real life, but metaphorically, we all know what it's like to have a large, imposing obstacle that seems impossible right in front of us. How am I going to get over this mountain? There's no way that I can deal with this situation. There's no way that I can get over this obstacle that's in front of me. Most of us certainly know what that's like metaphorically, even if we've never tried to climb Mount K2. And that's really what Jesus is talking to us, what the Holy Spirit is talking to us about in our text. It's talking about obstacles that seem impossible. And you notice how the disciples are faced with such an obstacle. They come there thinking that they'll be able to cast out this demon. They've cast out many other demons, but for some reason, it doesn't work. How are we going to deal with obstacles like this? How are the disciples going to deal with obstacles in their life? Almost immediately, the question rises, has Jesus failed? That's certainly what the scribes think. It's certainly what this man is starting to think. We see his lack of faith in the text, and it's probably even a little bit of what the disciples were starting to think. Why isn't this working? This can be an easy temptation for us to fall into when we're faced with obstacles in our life. Obviously, Jesus has failed, or this problem wouldn't be here. Obviously, Jesus has failed, or he would remove this mountain, as he said. When Jesus comes down the mountain, Jesus has just been up on the top of Mount Transfiguration. So he's been up on top of a literal mountain, and he comes down to face this obstacle. And when he comes down, he finds the scribes and his disciples arguing. Now, the text doesn't tell us what they were arguing about, but it doesn't take much imagination to see how they may have been arguing about whether Jesus really was the Messiah. You can see how the scribes might have easily used this opportunity to say, you see, you can't cast out this demon. It's not working. Jesus has failed. Whatever the subject of their argument was, it is clear that it was at its heart questioning Jesus, because his response is, "O faithless generation, have you so quickly lost faith in me?" The man, as we said, for sure does doubt Jesus. When he comes to Jesus, he says, if you are able. There's a lot of meaning in that simple word, if, isn't there? If you are able. That if brings up a lot of doubt. I'm not sure you can, Jesus, but if you can, would you please cast this demon out? We compare what this man says to others, like, for example, the centurion. Remember the centurion who came to Jesus, and he said, "I know you can." And what a big difference there is there. In fact, he said to Jesus, "I know not only can you, but you don't even have to come to my house. You just speak a word, and it will work." And Jesus says to that man, "What great faith. I've never seen such great faith, even in all of Israel." Or you think of the three men in the fiery furnace, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego as well. Same thing. They didn't respond, "If, we don't know whether God can save us." But they said to Nebuchadnezzar, "God can save us. We know that God can save us from that furnace. We just don't know if it's his plan. We don't know if he's willing. We know he can." And so you see the lack of faith there in this man, if you are able. He doubts God's ability instead of trusting in Jesus and looking to find God's plan. Our account today actually has a lot in common with the Old Testament account of Moses going up Mount Sinai. You remember how the Israelites were camped in the desert around Mount Sinai, and Moses went up to hear and to receive the commandments from God, and he was up there for 40 days and 40 nights. And when he came back down, the people had given up. They decided, well, Moses, we don't know what happened to Moses. It's been 40 days, 40 nights. Obviously, God has failed. Moses must be dead. And he's been up there for 40 days. And they made a golden calf and said, "This is our God, and he's going to lead us from now on." So quickly, they gave up on God. And so here as well, Jesus went up Mount Transfiguration. He wasn't gone for 40 days or 40 nights. He was gone for a much shorter period of time. But when he comes down, he finds that people had started to give up on him. We don't know what's going on. But of course, God hadn't failed in the wilderness, and Jesus didn't fail now. Jesus reminds his disciples, and he reminds us, everything is possible for the one who believes. Don't come to me saying, "If." All power has been given to me. That's the last thing he said before he ascended, right? All power has been given to me on heaven and earth. Trust that I can help. Trust in the power and promises of Jesus. Put your faith in him. It might take 40 days. It might take 40 years. But just because God doesn't answer right away, don't give up. God has his own plan, his own timeline. It's often a problem with those who come and ask for counseling. A lot of times people come and ask for counseling and they expect that the next day things are going to be better, or the next week. Or they come with the same attitude as this man, "If." I'm not really sure that this is going to help, but we'll give it a couple sessions, Pastor. Instead of coming with that attitude that, well, not trusting in me, but trusting in God's word and Jesus' promise. Knowing he can help. It might take a year. It might take longer. Jesus reassures us, all things are possible for the one who believes. Instead of giving in to the temptations when those obstacles, those mountains are in front of you, thinking there's no way we can get over this, there's no way we can get past it, trust in Jesus' word that he can move mountains. So if Jesus didn't fail, well then did the faith of the disciples fail? And there's no doubt in our account that the faith of many of the people that we meet was gone. The scribes had no faith in Jesus at all. The faith of many of the people was weakening. The faith even of the disciples, even the disciples questioned Jesus, was weakening. Why can't we cast it out? So in one sense, we would say yes, their faith was failing if it had not failed altogether. But the real question isn't whether they were weak in faith, but whether that was the problem. And that's a question that a lot of people would answer yes to. Yes, the problem was they didn't have enough faith. If they'd had more faith, they would have been able to cast the demon out. And you hear that quite a bit these days, that, well, if you just have enough faith, then you won't be sick. If you just have enough faith, you can get that promotion at work. If you just have enough faith, all mountains will disappear from your life. And we're often tempted to think that way as well. Sometimes we're often tempted to blame Jesus. Well, Jesus must have failed. And sometimes we're tempted to think, well, obviously I have to have more faith, or I have to pray harder. I have to do something different. Jesus reminds us in Matthew 17:20, "Assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, he will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." The man comes to Jesus with quite a bit of doubt, if you are able, but that doesn't stop Jesus from healing his son, does it? That man's lack of faith, his weak faith, did not inhibit Jesus' power. And that's something we have to remind ourselves, that the power doesn't come from our faith. It's not a question of the size of our faith. The power comes from Jesus, from the same man who created heaven and earth. When you turn a light on, it doesn't matter what size the light switch is, does it? You can have an itty-bitty light switch or a big one. It's not going to make any difference in the brightness of the lights. Or if you feel like blowing up a mountain for some reason, a packet full of dynamite, and you have a little button there that triggers it, again, the size of the button doesn't matter. The power is in that dynamite. You push a tiny little button and the whole mountain will disappear if you got enough dynamite in it. The same thing is true here. It's not the size of the faith that matters. This man's doubt doesn't stop Jesus. What matters is that he comes to Jesus. His faith was very weak, but it was at least enough to bring him to Jesus. And he may have come as a last-ditch effort. Well, I don't really know that Jesus can do anything, but I'll give it a try. That's pretty small faith there. But he comes to Jesus, and that's what matters. And because he comes to Jesus, Jesus heals his son. And so we come to Jesus as well. We come to Jesus on Sunday morning. We come to Jesus at the sacrament. We come to Jesus in prayer and morning devotion. And often our faith is very weak. Often we have doubts like this man. But Jesus is there when we come to him. And Jesus answers the prayer of this man, "I believe, help my unbelief." And Jesus strengthens him through what he sees by healing his son. And Jesus comes to us as well, regardless of our failings, regardless of our doubt. It's important to come to the Lord's Supper with faith, yes, but knowing that it's the true body and blood of the Lord, knowing that he forgives our sins. But if we also come with doubt, if we also come in weak faith, we can trust in Jesus' mercy and Jesus' power to give us that forgiveness anyway and to forgive us as we come to him this morning. Our faith might not be as great as Daniel or David that we could face Goliath. But we're here, and more important, Jesus is here. to give us his gifts, to be with us in his power. So what's the problem then? If Jesus didn't fail, and if it's not the faith of the disciples that was the failure, then what's the problem? Why couldn't they cast the demon out? And of course, that's the big question the disciples have for Jesus. What happened? Jesus tells us in our text, this kind comes out only with prayer and fasting, which he doesn't really answer the question, does he? He doesn't really tell us exactly what's different about this situation that the disciples couldn't cast it out in the normal way. But for our purposes, that's kind of the point. There's an obstacle here, an obstacle the disciples don't understand. It's different from what they are used to dealing with. It doesn't work the way they expect it. And Jesus says, well, trust. Prayer and fasting. Come to the Lord in prayer and put your trust in me. Many people like to speculate about this. So there's all kinds of commentaries out there that speculate as to what's different about this spirit, as Jesus calls it. But it doesn't really matter. We can add it to the list of questions that we want to ask Jesus when we get to heaven, right? But for now, it doesn't really matter. There's many situations we face in life that we don't understand, many mountains that appear before us that we don't understand why they're there or how to get over them. But just like the disciples, Jesus says, prayer and fasting. Come to me and put your trust in me and wait on the Lord. This is what obstacles are. If we understood them, if we knew how to get rid of them, if we knew how to climb them, then it wouldn't be a problem. It wouldn't be obstacles. It wouldn't test our faith. As this thing tested the faith of the disciples. But we often have situations that we don't understand. We don't know why. If we were the children of Israel standing at the bottom of Mount Sinai, well, we don't know why it takes 40 days for Moses to come down. Did it really take God 40 days just to tell Moses the Ten Commandments? Well, the book of Leviticus is a little bigger than Ten Commandments, but it still doesn't seem like it would have taken 40 days for God to give it to him. We don't know why it's taking Moses so long. But God calls on us to put our trust in him and wait. Instead of giving up on Jesus, instead of assuming that if something is wrong, we trust him who has all power in heaven and earth. I don't know if anyone wants to train to climb Mount K2. If you do, more power to you. Let me know how it goes. I'm not going with you. But here we have the answer to climbing the mountains in our lives, and to trusting Jesus in his power and coming to him daily in prayer and thanksgiving. Amen. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.